The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Today on Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel.
It starts off as a what I thought was a love story, and then he became someone I didn't think he ever could be.
Will you tell our listeners basically the arc of the book and of your life?
Young girl meets baseball player, kind of taken by the lifestyle.
You have a new book out. Can you tell us about the story and how this unfolded for you?
Between the Stitching Ends, I meet a great guy, and I told myself I could never attract somebody like that first book ever again. I was wrong.
The mother's character is Claire. This story really talks about her obsession with loving you.
My mother and I have a very uniquely intimate relationship, and it caused a lot of, I think, issues when it came to my romantic partnerships.
What are your plans now?
I have an idea for a third book, actually, again, based on true events. So we're just going to keep writing.
Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. There's a certain kind of love we don't like to talk about, the love that hurts, the love that shapes us in ways we don't even realize until years later. And often that kind of love starts at home. A toxic relationship with a parent can follow you like a shadow, showing up in the partners you choose, the patterns you repeat, and the way you see yourself long after you've grown up. That's what makes Taylor Higgins's work so powerful. Her first book, Between the Stitching, was a raw and unforgettable memoir, and now she's back with Best Kept Stranger out this week, which is a brand new novel. It's fiction, but it's drawn from the truth so many of us know too well, the messiness of love, the damage of family secrets, and the patterns we don't even realize we're trapped in. Taylor doesn't write for escapism. She writes to make you feel seen, even in the parts of your story you'd rather not admit out loud. And in this conversation, we go deeper into why these toxic bonds are so hard to break and how telling these stories, even through fiction, can be the first step through breaking free. This isn't just an episode about a book. It's about the courage to face where we come from and the freedom that comes when we finally choose a different path. Please enjoy my conversation with author Taylor Higgins. Taylor, it is so awesome to have you here. Thank you for joining me today on Misunderstood.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, so I first heard about you when I watched my friend Heather interview you for Juicy Scoop, and I was listening all about your life and the memoir you had just written. And I was fascinated because there was a lot of themes in there that resonated with me and obviously with readers because it became an immediate bestseller, right? I mean, what a phenomenal book Between the Stitching was.
Thank you. I really didn't expect it. I self-published it and within 2 weeks, as you said, international bestseller because it was relatable.
Yeah. I want to get into that because there are so many people that feel like they have a story they want to tell. Yeah. But before we talk about your writing and all that, can you tell people who don't know you, like, who are you, where you came from? Who is Taylor Higgins?
I, small town girl, born and raised just north of Boston. People are like, how did you get into writing? Why write books? And it's truly just been my vice. It's been how I deal with things. So I just started putting pen to paper and found that that was my biggest passion through that. In my spare time, though, I should say by day, I'm a matchmaker and a dog mom, just a normal gal.
Right. Oh my God, phenomenal. So many questions about that as well. But what got you into writing your first book?
Pain. I felt like, so I went through this devastating relationship and I'm like, there's no way anybody can relate to this. Who would I even talk to? I tried therapy. I tried, you feel like you kind of exhaust your friendships and your resources and the people closest to you. So I'm like, where do I
Yeah.
go from here? Started writing things down. The more I spoke about it, the more I actually realized this crazy story that I thought nobody could relate to, more people could. And I was like, I think I might be onto something here. So
Right.
a
And
book,
for God.
no, a story is born from that.
Between the Stitching, can you kind of describe? So it was a memoir. And by the way, it very much felt like a beach read, though. It did not even seem like a memoir because some of the stories in there were so incredibly crazy. So will you tell our listeners basically the arc of the book and of your life,
Sure.
essentially?
Sure. So I wrote it actually. It started when I was in my early 20s. Young girl meets baseball player, kind of taken by the lifestyle. He played minor league baseball. And I was just really interested. It starts off as a what I thought was a love story, and then it just became he became someone I didn't think he ever could be. Lies, manipulation, cheating, all of the things, but to the most excessive level possible. And so I kind of document through in like almost like a diary format. Like it should feel super personable. And I take you through what I experienced in real time and how I was feeling.
Right. So it's so interesting because so many of those stories I feel like we have all gone through in one way or another, maybe not to that extent, but can you share some of the stories? Because I know it's like, listen, we meet this guy, we fall in love, they seem amazing, we don't see any of the red flags, we meet their parents, they meet ours, but then things start to crumble. I know there was a very weird relationship that he had with his mother, right?
Yes. And I knew that from the start. Like they were kind of not incestual, but very close. Like they, she'd clip his toenails, manage his bank account. Like there was just like little things like, huh, okay. But nothing at first. It can look past that at first because we have a great connection, right? He's the one. He's telling me that I'm the one. I'm hearing all the things. We're building a life together.
So he love bombed you at the beginning too.
Totally, totally. Yes.
Yeah.
He was, and like he was the kindest person. If you met him, you'd be like, I don't get it. Soft spoken, really quiet, reserved guy, says all of the right things. And then as time went on, he just behind who he was behind closed doors became so much more,
Right.
scary.
Right. And can you talk about, I mean, I know you share a lot of this in the book, but some of how he would react. Like you would question him on things, or you would bring up some stuff with the mom, and he would like throw himself on the floor and have a temper tantrum, which didn't fit who this original personality was, right?
Yes. And it was like the slow unfolding of it too. So at first it was just, a little explosive. And the next thing he's, there was if when confronting him about any type of, why your phone's face down or your mom is asking about why your bank account is at this number and it should be at this number or why you spent money on me. And I'd ask him certain things and it just would become the problem was like, just attacking you, jumping on you when you were trying to ask a simple question. And it just grew from there.
Right. And what's interesting is you talk about how there was a time where I guess he ruined a wedding or something. There was like a big scenario with your cousin, was it?
My cousin's wedding, yes.
At your cousin's wedding, and there's like this whole blow up and you end up with blood all over your dress and the whole family. And I mean, I could see it, and this is why I guess they're contacting you to make this into the screen. But as everyone's kind of coming out of the wedding to see what's going on with you in the parking lot, including the bride and groom, and it's just insanity. And I would assume that a lot of people would think, okay, that's the end of this relationship, but you stayed.
Yeah, I stayed. I could not leave. It's this crazy, and I don't know if you've experienced it
I
first,
have.
but it's just when you're in it, you cannot see through it, and everyone around you is telling you you have to leave. This isn't right. You know it's not right, but removing yourself almost feels impossible. And what it takes to actually get to the final moment, and that final moment that actually makes you leave, nothing like what you'd expected. It's not those grand moments. It's in the smallest, most private moments, I feel like, that we experience, like, I have to leave. I can't do this anymore.
Right. So you talk about him having a bunch of different personalities that kind of unfolded later. And you find this laptop as you're in a closet, I think cleaning up stuff for him or something while he's away. And you find that he's been having these chats with women and men and sexually explicit chats. Wait, so what I was curious about with that is, was he kinky and like that with you?
No, like our sexual life was very vanilla. I mean, it was pretty cut and dry, nothing crazy, nothing experimental, like nothing what you would think. So you can understand why it, seeing
Yes.
all of that, I was like, who is this person?
And he denied it and he said it was his brother and all sorts of stuff. By the way, did he ever eventually come clean and admit to you why he was behaving in all these crazy ways?
Never,
Do you
never.
think he read the book?
I don't know. People ask me that all the time, and they say I've heard that him and his family just can't be bothered to pick it up.
Oh my God. I'm sure they read every word and were just
Sure.
like, oh my God, I hate this girl, you
True.
know? Oh my God. But you don't run into him ever.
No, so he actually lives in Georgia, and
Okay.
I'm up north here in Massachusetts. So
Okay.
we don't run into each other at the grocery store.
Amazing. All right. Well, so now I heard that that book was being optioned into a television film, something like that. What's the latest with that?
So it's still currently optioned for film. We have a team of really amazing producers and writers on it, but Hollywood is Hollywood. So I don't even have as much information as I'd like to share with you on that, but
Right.
stay tuned.
Okay. Well, anyways, for people that have not read Between the Stitching, you should read it because it's phenomenal. And again, as a memoir, it reads like a beach read. So it's something that it's not going to be like a typical boring memoir. So kudos to you for that, for, you know, figuring out your writing style.
Thank you.
All right. You have a new book out, Best Kept Stranger. This new book is more fiction. It's based on some true events, but still very emotionally rich. Can you tell us about the story and how this unfolded for you?
It is a bit of a follow-up to Between the Stitching. So the first book, people wanted to know what happened. How did you begin dating after that? What was life like after such a debilitating relationship? So I wanted to write a sequel. And now while this is fictional, it is still answering, who was I when, because that Between the Stitching ends, I meet a great guy. And I told myself I could never attract somebody like that first book ever again. I couldn't do it. I could spot a red flag from a mile away. My radar, spot on. I was wrong. And I attracted that relationship tenfold. So to think that like I could spot all those flags and I've been through and I've healed and all of that stuff, it didn't matter. I actually did it again. So I document this second relationship, and how you can go through something really hard and it can still happen again.
Right.
No matter how sharp you think your tools are, you can still do it again. And then I also talk about who was around me, my upbringing. Why was I okay with these types of relationships? What happened? So my mother and I have a very uniquely intimate relationship. We always have, and it caused a lot of, I think, issues when it came to my romantic partnerships.
Right. So you start this book off, the mother's character is Claire,
Yes.
your character is still Taylor. And it starts off very much talking about Claire and where she came from and her upbringing and how then who she is as a person and why. And then the story really talks about her obsession with loving you. I mean, it's very clear she loves you even more so than the brother. You really have a brother?
I
Yes.
do,
Yeah.
yes.
Okay. So she talks about how she's really obsessed with you and you could do no wrong and you are the chosen one and how that ends up affecting relationships because relationships end up almost triggering her or threatening her. And so it's almost like she wants to keep you in bad relationships because then you keep running back to her. I mean, did I get that kind of right?
Spot on, correct.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting because I think, and I told you, I have a terrible relationship with my mother. If I ever was to say, listen, this is a classic, classic narcissistic abuse from a parent, she would say, I don't have any of those qualities. What are you talking about? And I have spent since I was a little, I'm 50, and then since I was a little girl, I've had this back and forth with my mother where me as an only child, I've always wanted that relationship, always forgiven anything she did, and sometimes I cannot, it's not my episode, so I will tell you some of the things quickly that she
Yeah.
did were beyond what anyone could ever imagine a mother doing with a child. So much so that even today, she still treats me like I'm 14. I'm engaged to be married, getting married New Year's Eve. My fiance actually disinvited her from the wedding last week
Wow.
because of her own behavior. And it was the first time somebody actually stood up for me because most of the time she tries to develop a relationship with the man to then say something's wrong with me, you know? And this was the first time that someone stood up for me instead of took her side. Anyway, enough about me, but I totally understood that. And for me, that stood out in the book, and that weaving of that relationship was something that I was like, oh, I get this. So anyone that has experienced that relationship with a parent that is overbearing and loves them so much, but it almost seems like hatred. And that's what resonated with me.
This is why exactly why I was so excited for this conversation, because I knew you could relate to some of the content, and I love you shared that. So thank you.
Thank you. So will you tell your readers what they can expect? Because again, I mean, it is a beach read, kind of like this is something you can get through and like get into it and want to, you know, turn on the lights early before you go to work to finish reading. I mean, it really flows really well and is good. It's fascinating what you've done here, your writing style.
Thank you. Thank you. I love writing psycho thrillers, so that's kind of my theme. But I really like to just pull on the real, like, relatable day-to-day stuff. So the little moments, I feel like that's why people enjoy my writing overall. That's what I would say. But what to expect? So twisted family dynamics, okay? Mother-daughter dynamic relationships. If there's a strained mother-daughter or parental figure, a strained relationship with a parental figure, this is a huge story for you. And then toxic and abusive relationships. It sounds like a cliche. I don't even like to use the word narcissism anymore because it's so overused, but it's still such a big issue. So, you know, walking ourselves through painful relationships and how we heal from trauma is always going to be a thing.
Yeah. So talk to me about writing, though, because so many people this day and age, first of all, use AI now, but also have a ghostwriter, and your voice is very much your own. Can you talk about what the process is for writing for people who really feel like they have a story to tell and they don't know if they should do it in a fiction way, nonfiction? Like, how do you get started?
That's a great question. It's one of my most frequently asked questions because everyone has a story to share. Like I said, it's big. For me, my process is very simple. I enjoy writing to my core. So I just sit down, open up a Microsoft Word document and start letting it flow. I do a little bit of, and I'm a very linear storyteller, so I need to go through each chapter. Before starting anything, I will sit down with a notebook and just kind of plot out the expectations of like ballpark how many chapters I'll have and what I'd like to achieve in those chapters. But overall, it's almost like a surprise. So this story, I began it and the ending has transformed probably three different times. I almost find my way through the story as I go through it. So
That's what I was going to ask. Like, do you know the ending when you started it?
I thought I did. And it changed, like I said, three different times. So I think, yeah, you think you have a great beginning, you think you have a great ending, and it does, you get into the story and magic happens. It just hits you sometimes.
And when you're writing, do you follow an arc of the story and kind of plan out what it's going to be, or you're actually writing dialogue as you go through it?
As I go through it, I really don't plot too much before. I feel like when there's too much structure, you almost box yourself in, and you feel like if you're not achieving your goals that you've set for yourself, it can get a little hairy. And now everyone, their process is different, of course.
But
it's such a personal thing, right? Process. So if you are looking to tell a story, figure out what works for you. It's a lot of trial and error too, but start by plotting it and then arrange your thoughts too. Make sure you get it out on paper, but just begin.
And what would your suggestion be for people about character development? Like, that I think is very hard for people to really separate different characters and have specific traits to each one.
Yeah, you have to think of like people in your day-to-day life too, and you can't make, you know, everyone, the whole point of Best Kept Stranger is, and that title alone speaks so much. So we all have parts of ourselves that we don't want the world to know about. There's always parts of ourselves that we'd like to keep hidden. You have to expose all angles of a character. So if you want really true character development, we have to hate you at one point. I have to love you at one point. You have to disappoint me, and you have to go through all of the feelings. Every character must make you feel all of those things. So while they're doing horrible things, you should almost feel bad for them and vice versa. So it's, take us through the journey of the emotional state that a human would go through on a daily basis.
Yeah, I love that. Claire is such a layered, unsettling character. I know she came from your relationship with your mother, but how much of it is true? Can you talk about your relationship with your mother a little bit?
Today, this is actually the first time I'm talking about it, which is, it's so exciting to share. Our relationship is really strong today. I'm really proud of us. There was a period of time we didn't speak for years because of the events that unfolded in this story. Many of them are true. Plenty of them are not. I will leave that to the reader's imagination to figure out. But it's I'm just really glad that we were able to overcome, because this book is dark, and I hope anyone that is experiencing a strained relationship with a parental figure, I didn't think at one point I was okay with saying, you know what, have a good life to my mother. I felt very defective because I'm like, what's wrong with me? You know, it's my mom. She gave me life. And I heard it from everybody too. So to be able to come out on the other side and say, no, this is, we made it. Feels good. There's hope.
That's amazing that you're at that stage. I mean, I can't tell you how many times throughout my life people would be like, why don't you just forgive her? Why don't you try? And I would always try. And then within minutes of being around her, I just knew that a lot of this, you just, there are things that you cannot get over or behaviors that just do not change. And, at many points in my life, people would be like, but she seems so sweet and she's so great and she's so normal. And I feel like I'd be lucky to have her as a mom. And people just do not get what you see in those moments when no one's looking. And for me, it was almost like that gaslighting of, where someone would whisper something in your ear to make you like flip out, and people would be like, what's wrong with you? Why are you flipping out for no reason? That's the kind of relationship that I had with my mother, And so, I'm so happy to hear that you guys are in a better place. So has she read the book?
She has, and it was incredibly painful, and I'm glad that she was able to get through it. I commend her for that. But she has read it, and it was difficult for sure.
Okay. And as long as, I mean, I'm assuming it's not like she called you every 2 minutes being like, that didn't happen that way, and this didn't happen. And
She thinks that I have a wonderful imagination, but honestly, some version of the truth is hidden in every page.
of
So, I
course.
mean, and we all are open to our versions of the truth, and perspective is everything too. And she has her story, and I'll always have mine. But yeah, it's difficult to read. Even looking back, I'll open a random page and I'm like, oof. And it brings you right back to a moment. And it's just so crazy to think, like, I was truly okay with not forgiving her in this lifetime for the events that happened in this story. And
Yeah.
here we are.
Right. Amazing. What do you want your readers to walk away feeling or thinking after reading this book?
I want them to feel seen. So whatever, I hope this pulls on some corner of your life, the darkest corner, something that you're experiencing that no one's talking about. If you've exhausted your resources with friends, family members, and you feel like you have nobody to talk to or walk you through the events that you're dealing with, let this story be an outlet for you.
Amazing. All right. Now, what's exciting to me is that you are out. First of all, how long did this take to write?
Oh, 5 years, on and off, though. Better half of 5 years.
Okay. So now you're on the other side of it. This book is coming out this month, right? And I'm so excited for you. But like, what do you, tell people what you do on a daily basis. What has your dating life been like since you've been writing these stories?
People are always like, am I going to be the next book or am I going to be your husband? It's scary. So my dating life has been quiet. I broke up. I ended an engagement. You'll learn in the book that I did end an engagement a few years back, and it's been quiet. I took some time off. I really wanted a traditional publishing deal. So my first book was self-published. Anyone can do that. And I wanted to go the traditional route. I was able to, lucky enough to get a publishing deal last summer. But in the meantime, I was just writing. But by day, I am a matchmaker, which is a very interesting job because being single and being a matchmaker is a strange thing, but also being a writer and having a bird's eye view to the most vulnerable state that people are in is when they're searching for love has been just an honor and a privilege to as a creator.
Right. So it's interesting that you're a matchmaker because it's clear that for a while there, you, like many women, had a bad picker, right? You said you got into similar situations over and over again, which makes you an expert now. First of all, for other people, for sure. For you, maybe not so much, but I'm sure you have that experience now. So you really know and can be aware. What would you say in the matchmaking industry is like, why are people coming to matchmakers mostly?
A lot of reasons, mainly for, I think, privacy. A lot of people are also just exhausted from the apps. It's time consuming, swiping. People aren't who they are. Usually they don't, they, you know, we present ourselves online a different way than we do in real life. So they're just looking for a more dignified approach to meeting people, but also
Yeah.
want the added perspective. So, you know, I'm the middleman here. I'm going to make sure that if a second date needs to happen, it will. I'm going to be coaching you through every step of your membership and how you dress, how you talk. We're going to be talking about red flags, some of the things that we see on dates too. So you have something
Right.
in your back pocket.
The people that come to you, are they a total mess? Like, do you have to be like, dude, you can't wear that those pants. Like, you
I know.
can't talk like that or whatever.
Plenty of that. So after every date, we call you the next morning. We'll go through the feedback. I want to know what you wore, you know, what you said, what the conversation was like. And there's been times people show up on dates with flip flops and, you know,
Oh,
yard
God.
clothes that they look like they just were doing yard work all day. Like there's been all things like that. So it's just, it's been a thing, but then there's plenty of, you know, we work with all walks of life, but of course that we're doing a lot of coaching as well.
What's your success rate?
It's hard to measure success because our youngest client is 28 and our oldest is like 75. So everyone's goals are quite different. Honestly, we want everyone in a long-term relationship and we measure that at about, you know, 80-ish percent.
That's pretty good.
It's good. It's really
You know, it's interesting because on dating apps, you don't have that middleman. You don't have that reference to be like, this is a normal human being. Or, you know, one of the first questions I started to ask people is, what would your ex say about you? Like, I need to know everything right now so we can just figure it out because I don't need to waste 6 months realizing this, 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 and this when you could just tell me right off the bat. You know what I mean?
I love that. No, it's a great question. And it's nice because as we get to know people, we get to know their patterns and how what people say about them on a date.
Right.
We're making these matches and we have this like, it's kind of like there's a lot of voices that go into it, which is nice.
Right. Okay. So now you are in a long-term relationship, right?
Yes.
And you've actually moved for this gentleman.
I have. Yes.
Which is exciting. So do we think that this is going to be the one or like, what are your standards now for what the one is going to be?
I think he's the one. He is everything that I have never experienced before. And to me, that's a green light. He is like calm and he has been the same person since day one. And he has pursued me consistently and relentlessly since day one, but not in a love bomb-y way, just a very consistent, like masculine way, which is nice.
Oh, I love that.
My soul is at peace. And that's all I need to know.
What would you tell people that are single and looking for love about love bombing? Because there are so many people that just get so swept away with that.
It feels good in the moment, but when it feels hot and heavy at first, those things crash and burn very quickly. So if it feels a little, maybe I'll see him again, or, you know, it was okay.
Yeah.
Feed into that. There's something there. If you're willing to see somebody again, give it a second chance. The ones that are like electricity is coursing through your veins, crash and burn.
But Taylor, don't you feel like there are so many people that get swept away with that line of like, oh my God, I feel like I've known them forever. They told me that they feel like they've known me. I think that is the scariest thing ever. You don't know that person. You've met them for 4 hours or something. Yeah. And I know that feeling feels really good when someone's like, oh, I know you. I feel like I know you. They completely don't. And you actually want the time to let them know you so that they see all the good and the bad. And the stuff that they feel like they know is almost like the toxic stuff. So yeah. I think that's like the scariest thing. And I have a ton of girlfriends that'll go out on a date and be like, oh my God, this is the one, this is it. This is, oh my God. And I'm like, okay, run, because you have to slow the hell down. And so many people don't get that, but everyone's in a rush because none of us want to die alone. We're all getting older very quickly.
I know there are clocks, we are looking at them, but I always say like, if somebody is a great dater, like if someone is good at dating, they're usually not good in a long-term relationship. So if that guy is like amazing on the date and he just is like your soulmate and he's giving you that energy, he does that every week. He's a serial dater.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I always wish that people were friends first, because then you really see the person. The guy I'm now marrying, you know, I was friends with him first. So my daughter got to know him. I got to see him around other people. And, you know, then you really know the person. So it's not like you're just figuring it out as you're going through it. And I loved, obviously, my daughter said to me, oh, he's great. He doesn't give me the ick, which was so funny. And it was just about a friend, you know? So, and she wasn't threatened by him. It's harder too when you have children because they hate anyone you date.
Sure.
But yeah, I love that you're a matchmaker. All right. So what are your plans now? Now that this book, I know it's just coming out, but are you officially a writer? Is this going to be your job? Do you want another book to come out?
Absolutely. I don't see a life without writing. I feel like I would feel empty if it fulfills me in some way. So I have an idea for a third book. And it's actually, again, based on true events. So we're just going to keep writing. And I think that matchmaking almost fuels my passion for writing. It's just being around people is good for anything.
Right. And will it be like a dark story? Will it be a love story?
It's going to be another, I think I like writing dark. I don't know. My mind just automatically goes there. It's about a murder, and it's a true story. And it actually involves the world of matchmaking.
Oh my God.
But
All right. Well, I
exposed
can't.
my day-to-day in the matchmaking world. We'll get really into the what matchmaking looks like, but also what can happen.
I love it. All right. So, any last minute tips and tricks for people who, again, want to start writing and just do not know how to put pen to paper?
There are so many options. One, if you can't just begin, that's the first step. Like, just begin, right? You can't edit something that doesn't exist, and you can't sell something that does not exist. So just begin, put your thoughts to paper. There's also like ghostwriting options. So work with somebody, collaborate. There's so much creativity that is born in collaboration. So find a way. If you have a story to tell, and if it's kind of like burning a hole in the back of your head, like, I really need to get this story out there, that is your indication that you might be a writer.
Do you think that you've learned anything about yourself as a woman, as someone in relationships, while you've been writing these books?
I think so. I'm alone with my own thoughts and pages for a really long time, and I've just learned that you can get your way through anything. You really just understand how strong you are when you're putting your own like experiences to paper, and you're like, wow, not bad. You did all right.
Yeah. And also, I think it's very evident that, and again, because it's so relatable that so many people pick the wrong type and it's a pattern that they do over and over. I think as a writer, you've probably been able to see that in yourself and be able to move forward and try to stop that pattern going forward.
What I've realized mostly is because when you meet someone that has also been through trauma and you're speaking about your own, you become enmeshed. So people mistake that like soulmate connection. You become the fixer. You become almost like one person. You become obsessed with the fact that you've both been through hard things. And that
Yeah.
this, it's not a real relationship. That's why it falls apart. And I've learned that through myself. Instead of approaching it as the fixer or, somebody with this big story to tell, just go in, just take a step back and approach this as who you are today, and you'll be surprised what can happen.
Oh, great advice. Okay. I'm gonna do a little lightning round, just three questions. What book are you obsessed with right now?
Ooh, The Secret, Donna's Heart.
Dream actor to play Taylor.
Oh my goodness. Oh my good, Sydney Sweeney. I mean, come on.
Okay. Who would the actor be to play Claire?
I think about this all the time. Who is that woman? Oh my gosh, I don't even remember her name. It's
Let's
horrible.
play charades. What was she in?
She was in she's done a ton with like American Horror Story. She was Nurse Ratched. Hold on, let me look it up. She is the
Okay.
most incredible actress for like crazy things. You'll be like, oh, I know who she is. Sarah Paulson.
Okay, I know who you mean.
Yeah, she's just a
Yeah.
little, a little deranged when we see her on screen. So I was like,
That's a good one. What is your writing fuel? Coffee, wine, chaos?
Coffee always, a little bit of music, and I pregame by reading my favorite book. So whatever I'm like, or I should say, whatever I'm reading at the time, little coffee, little pregame with the book, and then I get into it.
Okay. And when you watch Netflix, do you watch documentaries or do you watch regular series?
Mostly documentaries, mostly I love anything like murder, investigation, something dark.
Favorite? I guess true crime story you're following right now.
Gosh, I watch like this is kind of nerdy, but just like YouTube videos of random, just like random,
Yeah.
nothing. I just came
Okay.
back from Aruba, so I'm on like this deep Natalie Holloway. It's
Oh,
all
yeah.
like still crazy.
That was a crazy story. Yeah. All sorts of good things. I love that ID Network, like true crime stuff
Yeah.
too. I could play Dateline on, replay all day long.
Yes.
All right, well, Taylor, it was such a pleasure getting to meet you. Best Kept Stranger is out now. Tell people where they can get it.
Amazon, Barnes and Noble, any major retailer, but it's out August 12th, so go get it.
And also Between the Stitching, same places you can get it anywhere. Both amazing books. Everybody should read it. If people want to reach out to you, do you read your DMs? How can they find you?
Oh, I read every single Instagram message that comes my way, so.
Okay, and tell people that are listening what your Instagram is.
It is the Taylor Higgins.
Awesome. Taylor, thank you so much. Good luck with the book. I can't wait to have you on to talk about the third one.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.